Blog Talk Radio.
On Martin Luther King Jr. Day and from the mean streets of Las Cruces while enduring the angry and menacing rants of failed politicians and broadcasting from a cramped, dusty, ill-designed, uncomfortable yet highly independent single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, good morning. 6:06, and good morning to you. Really appreciate you getting up to join me, especially if you didn't have to. And a little bit chilly out there, a little bit chilly. But anyway, we're celebrating today Martin Luther King Day, and I've got some nice clips for you, etc. But first, let me ask you something. What if I told you a young lady went to someone's house on a Friday as part of her legal job, a student? Poor student, and after telling the person who answered the door why she was there, that person became angry. In fact, so angry that he screamed like a tribesman at a cannibal assault, like an escaped maniac off his meds. And then he began running after the frightened teen, and then he chased her down the street screaming profanities like someone in the midst of a full-blown psychiatric meltdown. And then that poor teen who was just trying to make some money to live on and make it through school and was just doing her job became so frightened that she panicked and thought she'd be killed and that she was not sure she'd live through the night. Further, that a witness admitted if they'd had a gun, they would have intervened to stop the assault. And that after the terrified teen had somehow escaped and the man had gone home, he then went to Facebook to apologize. And what if I told you that this person was a prominent area statistician who may be out of his mind? Such is his unstable behavior. You've got to stay tuned here. At 7, I'm going to tell you the whole story, but it's unbelievable. And I got a guest in the studio right now. And if you knew what I knew right now, you'd be shocked. You'd be astounded. And you would certainly call for this politician to resign and go get the mental help he so desperately needs, the man that we call the gay evangelist. You know who it is. All right, anyway, let's get on to honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. I've got your NFL coming up, and it was an unbelievable set of games, but especially that first one, but Here's a little clip from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream, and then we're going to get into some NFL. Kelly O'Connell, it is 6:09, but can you believe that? A local politician, the gay evangelist, lost his mind, and he went after a poor teen girl. And it's not the end of the story, it's just the start of the story, folks. But here's a little bit of I Have a Dream.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream for them. And the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord. shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it today.
Probably the most famous speech of the last century. I have a dream, and I got a lot more on Martin Luther King Jr. But anyway, like I was telling you, local politician who said, "I have a scream," and he went after a teen girl, the gay evangelist, the homosexual apostle, the Shah of Sodom.
Taxes are your year, Swami, only much salami. Intuit TurboTax.
Out of his mind,
Aaron Rodgers in the cast.
I would guess so. I don't know how else you describe this type of incivility and assault. But anyway, here's a little bit on your Green Bay Packers. I've never seen a top-tier team fall apart like this, folks. It was uncanny. Here's a little bit, though, from your Green Bay versus the Seattle. They're not even Seahawks. They're ghetto rats. But here we go.
Aaron Rodgers and the cast came out. Packers took a lead, but they could have done a lot more. A couple field goals, and they finally get a touchdown here, last play of the first quarter, Rodgers to Randall Cobb.
Yeah, they left a lot of points on the field the first half. They were bad in the red zone, and they failed to capitalize on all of the takeaways.
Seahawks down 16-0, 3rd-and-8 in the red zone, and Russell Wilson tries to force this one to Jermaine Kearse. Sam Shields is there, 3rd interception of the game for Wilson. So it's 16-0 at the break, 3rd quarter. This is when everything changes. They call him a fake. Hunter John Ryan to Gary Gilliam, former tight end, and the Seahawks are within 9.
Nothing else was working. Why not?
And still not working for Wilson. Again going to Kearse. Off Kearse's hands, and Morgan Burnett sliding down. Why?
Yeah, I don't understand that. His teammate was telling him to get down, but a lot of time left.
Way too much time left.
That's my biggest
issue. They get it right back. We'll ask Tom about that a little bit more. Russell Wilson, the touchdown, and then poor Brandon Bostic. Wow. He misses it for the Packers. He was in there as a blocker, but he said it was coming right at him. He felt like he could get it. He didn't. Seahawks have it. 90 seconds to go. Beast mode.
Unbelievable. Just another great game by this young man who runs as hard as anyone in the league, and they have life.
And this is when you thought, you know what, that 12th man is the man upstairs.
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
That's a prayer.
Luke Wilson.
And that's a prayer answer. Just think about what had to happen for them to get to where they are now for Seahawks.
They get the two-point conversion to go up 3, which is huge because Mason Crosby knocks in the 48-yard field goal in overtime. Russell Wilson said at the coin toss he was going to go to Jermaine Kearse, and Kearse was going to catch the winning touchdown on a check play. That's exactly what happened.
A beautiful throw. Russell Wilson morphed back into the Russell Wilson we saw throughout the course of the regular season. And just heartbreak on the Green Bay Packers sideline. An improbable outcome, and Michael Bennett with a victory lap.
On the police bike, Michael Bennett. So Wilson had a total QBR for the game of 13.6, but when it mattered the most in the fourth quarter and in overtime, his total QBR was over 90. First team to overcome 4 interceptions and win a playoff game since the Bills beat the Jets back in 1981. I think that was pre-Tom Waddle playing.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was.
Incredible.
If I had told you that Russell Wilson – or any quarterback would have 14 yards of passing in the first half and would end the game with 4 interceptions, what would you say the chances of them winning would be? And you'd say 0.
Taxes are your year, only much
time
simpler.
Again.
Intuit TurboTax.
And they didn't even really show it, I don't think.
ESPN Today is brought to you by Intuit TurboTax.
From they do this onside kick, and it just bounces players. Off this Green Bay player. It's like the guy's pointing at his toys.
Start off and have some good drives.
To help their customers get what they want and need.
But
banking, loyalty,
I think the
analytics.
Way that
Synchrony Financial, engage with us.
Aaron Rodgers handled it was pretty good. And I've got a clip here, but for some reason these clips are not really loading the way they
Welcome
should be.
Welcome to an NFC Championship version
anyway,
of the Blitz, presented by Synchrony
outcome.
Financial. Alongside Tom Waddle, I am Jim Bass.
Unbelievable outcome,
Tom, the
really.
Words improbable, and, unbelievable, unthinkable have to come to mind.
You couldn't
to
have really
what
found
in this game.
If you're, really looking for drama, you couldn't have
Seattle,
found a more dramatic ending
to go.
In this game.
You know, you can think
you
of
really
early in the game, the goal line.
Bay. Packer, you have to be sick to your stomach.
For touchdowns,
here we
all
go.
All the way to the onside kick that wasn't recovered by Green Bay, but all the stuff in between.
Here is
the biggest statement by Seattle going to the Super Bowl.
I think it was because the Green Bay
Packers defensively
created five takeaways, mm-hmm. and they turned those five takeaways into just 9 points.
Well, here is your here's Aaron Rodgers talking about it after the game.
Very confident we're going to win the game and start off and had some good drives, put some things together. Defense played great. You know, I picked them off four times and forced another turnover on special teams. But, you know, you can't let them complete a pass for a touchdown on a fake field goal. You can't give up an onside kick, and you can't not get any first downs in the fourth quarter and expect to win. And that's on top of, you know, being really poor in the red zone in the first half. So put it all together, that's how you lose games.
That's how you lose games, folks. And we'll come back and I'll have a little bit on your New England Patriots who were in the Super Bowl. but as I was telling you earlier, we've got a local politician lost his nut and just went ape feces, not just on a person who's working a campaign without any partisanship in her heart, but a young teen native girl from out of the state who's just here to go to school. Really tragic, the kind of idiocy that we're seeing in politics these days. You're going to hear about this story at 7 o'clock. I've got my guest here, and this is the person who could tell the whole story. I've got a little bit of Ryan Adams here, by the way. Give me something good. It's a new song, and we're listening to alt country. Ryan Adams is the king of alt country. You're listening to Kelly O'Connell 618, Kelly O'Connell Show 523-1450 on KOBE, and to text in 805-6180, and we'll be right back.
Mind is so blank. Going for a walk. I got nothing left to say. I can't see. It's the darkness on the rise.
It's Kelly here. Good morning. Happy Martin Luther King Day. And got just a phenomenal show for you here. But somebody just texted in and guessed who it was. The Pied Piper of Perversion, who you've heard me call out many times for his idiocy, his meanness of spirit, his blind attacking of anybody who doesn't agree with him. But I'll announce that at 7 who it is. Now here is your Patriots and Colts, and Tom Brady showed why he's the quarterback who's been going to the Super Bowl more times than any other quarterback. Is he the greatest ever? I don't know, but you got to say he's ahead of Peyton. Peyton looked like Ed McMahon out there. He looked terrible. Here is that game, and they absolutely trashed the Colts. They owned them. They beat them like a rented mule. Here it is.
Tom Brady and the Patriots taking Andrew Luck and the Colts to school in the AFC Championship. First quarter, Josh Cribbs. He muffed the punt. Recovered by Darius Fleming, and New England in business. Ensuing Patriots drop. First and goal, LeGarrette Blount powers his way in. 7-0 Patriots. Later in the first, still 7-0 New England. Brady looking for Shane Vereen. And check out Vereen. Goes back and gets the catch. Jarrell Freeman all over him. First down pass. Later in the drive, Brady. Quick throw to James Devlin, and he muscles his way in. It's 14-0 Patriots. Second quarter. Third and 8 for the Colts. Andrew Luck looking for T.Y. Hilton, and he makes a great grab. Colts would score, and they'd be down 14-7. But in the second half, the Patriots just open up a can, dominating. Short pass here to Julian Edelman. Makes a dude miss. Pushed out of the 44. Jukes out Greg Toler. And then later in the drive, Brady, another short pass here. Finds Nate Solder, the offensive lineman, the left tackle. 16-yard touchdown for him. 24-7 Patriots. And the Pats linemen are loving it. Have a day, big dude. And then third and one. Brady to Gronk. Gronk. Touchdown. It's 31-7 Patriots. Later in the third, Luck looking for Hilton. But Darrell Revis with the INT. And Andrew Luck just had an awful day. Threw for 126 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But Garrett Blount capitalizes. 148 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, and the Patriots crushed the Colts 45-7. Patriots and Seahawks in Super Bowl 49.
All I can say is, rot's a rock. I mean, that was as terrible a performance as you've ever seen, except the crazy thing is it was almost as bad by Russell Wilson, and yet Russell Wilson turns it around at the end of the game with possibly some divine intervention, and, you know, you've got that. I wouldn't say it magnificent. It was a dysfunctional win. You know, it was like Mike Tyson fighting Don King. Here we go. Here's from Ratza Rock talking about his game.
ESPN Today is brought to you by Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
They did a good job making plays, and we didn't. You know, it seemed like they were more on the details, and we weren't. You know, my play was not up to par for where it needs to be to give you a chance to beat a quality team like them. It's a great atmosphere. It's a fun place to play. But they certainly had our number tonight. But I thought we built up a decent rhythm on a couple of those drives, and you know, got 7, got a chance at a field goal. But you know, they did a great job of not letting us sustain that. And again, making plays, and we didn't.
It was pathetic. It really was, but you'd expect better football than that at that level. All right, so I've got a little bit of Martin Luther King bio here for you. Let's not forget, even though the Civil Rights Act, the movement has become, after achieving so much, it became toxic. What's going on with Al Sharpton? And what's that other character's name? Jackson, who are just running a shakedown cruise. But Martin Luther King was a very special person. He was a flawed man, of course, but as all men are. But here's a little on Martin Luther King Jr., a mini bio.
Martin Luther King Jr. was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1929. Faith was always an important part of daily life, as both his father and grandfather were Baptist ministers. He thrived at a segregated high school, graduating at 15, before heading off to Morehouse College. He then dedicated 3 years to theological study at Crozier Seminary in Pennsylvania. While earning his graduate degree at Boston University, he met Coretta Scott, who he would marry and have 4 children with. King and his family settled in Montgomery, Alabama, when he became the 20th pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. When Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to relinquish her seat to a white man on a Montgomery City bus in 1955, the incident lit a fire under the burgeoning civil rights movement.
His boycott of the bus system in Montgomery, Alabama, was tremendously successful because he was incredibly strategic, and he worked with other people to get the individuals in Montgomery, Alabama, to understand that they weren't going to take it anymore.
King's experience, passion for the cause, and position in the community gave him the credentials to become a leader in the 381-day boycott of the city buses. On December 20, 1956, the Supreme Court ruled segregated buses to be unconstitutional. This was a major victory for the civil rights cause and proved King's nonviolent methods of protest could yield results. King was now the national face of the civil rights cause. He was jailed over 20 times, was once stabbed in the chest, his house was bombed, and he suffered relentless personal attacks on himself and his family. For a man of peaceful intentions, he unfortunately spent much of his life the target of violent intent, yet the threats never stopped him.
Dr. King inspired thousands of people through his eloquence and through his fearlessness, especially after his home was firebombed with his wife and his children. They showed through their courage that they were prepared to give their lives to the cause of freedom.
King worked tirelessly to promote the cause he so strongly believed in. And from 1957 through 1968, he traveled over 6 million miles, delivered 2,500 speeches, wrote 5 books, and dozens of articles. His hard work and ability to communicate earned him such respect that he earned the ear of President John F. Kennedy, who personally met with King. Of all the speeches King delivered, none has stood the test of time like his famous I Have a Dream speech, symbolically delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. In front of 250,000 people, both black and white. King had become such a force in America that he was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1963. A nice achievement indeed, but it paled in comparison when in 1964, he became the youngest man ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Martin Luther King Jr. was an American. He was deeply American. And what's striking to me is that he had more confidence and faith in American democracy, in the Constitution, and in the principles of fairness and opportunity than nearly all of his critics.
While in Memphis to lead a protest march defending the rights of striking garbage workers in April of 1968, King delivered a rousing speech titled, I've Been to the Mountaintop. It would be his last, standing on the balcony of his second floor room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. King was shot and killed.
Well, folks, I've got a few more clips.
Ronald Reagan signed a proclamation declaring the third Monday of every January Martin Luther King Jr.
And here's a little more Ryan Adams. Give me something good. New song. Kelly, it's 6:34 on KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show, and I've got a little bit of weather here for you, AccuWeather. And check this out.
Here's the AccuWeather.com forecast for El Paso today. We're going to have plenty of sunshine with a high temperature of 67 degrees, but it's going to be beautiful. The good thing is we do not expect any rain. As we take a look into tonight, 35 is going to be our overnight low. It's going to be mainly clear. It's going to be feeling like 35 also, so make sure if you have any other plans, you bundle up before you head out. And with the AccuWeather.com extended outlook Tuesday, it's going to be mainly clear with a couple of clouds in the skies, high 67, 58 for Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a couple of showers.
As I was telling you, there was a local politician who went absolutely ape feces on a young native girl, a young Alaska girl, and I'm calling, of course, for him to resign. He's out of his mind. He's the Pied Piper of perversion. He is the gay evangelist. He's the Swami of salami. And he has really lost his nut. That's all I can say. Oh, you're going to find out who it is, although you may have guessed already. Now, here's a little bit more Martin Luther King Jr. speech on civil disobedience and obeying just versus unjust laws. I thought this is a pretty good insight into how Martin Luther King. And this goes back to the logic and the arguments that the reformers, Martin Luther King himself and John Calvin and the Americans who fought against King George, the idea of a just versus an unjust law. Check this out.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is in San Francisco. On our panel of reporters in Washington, D.C., you have just met Lawrence Spivak. Our other reporters today are Tom Wickert of the New York Times, James J. Kilpatrick of the Richmond News Leader, and John Chancellor of NBC News. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Wickert.
Dr. King, you said a moment ago that Alabama was a state that gives respectability to the resistance and defiance of the law. And you listed an observance of the law by local agencies in the South as one of the cardinal aims that you were seeking. Yet on March the 9th, you led the second march on Montgomery in violation of a federal injunction not to march. You said that order was unjust. And John Lewis, one of your colleagues, said that the Negroes had a constitutional right to march, injunction or no injunction. Was that in keeping with the spirit of nonviolence and the restraint that has always characterized your movement? And could you explain your reasoning in defying the court order that day?
Well, let me say two things to that, Mr. Wicker. First, I did not consider myself defying a court order that particular day. I consulted with my attorneys before the march, and they stated that they felt that it was an invalid order, and that it would not be, that I would not be in contempt of court violating the court order if I led the march to the point of having a moral confrontation with the state troopers at the point where the people were brutalized on Sunday. So I still don't consider that breaking a court order or breaking what I consider an unjust law. On the other hand, I must be honest enough to say that I do feel that there are two types of laws. One is a just law and one is an unjust law. I think we all have moral obligations to obey just laws. On the other hand, I think we have moral obligations to disobey unjust laws because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. I think the distinction here is that when one breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, he must do it openly, he must do it cheerfully, he must do it lovingly, he must do it civilly, not uncivilly, and he must do it with a willingness to accept the penalty. And any man who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts the penalty by staying in jail in order to arouse the conscience of the community on the injustice of the law is at that moment expressing the very highest respect for law.
Brilliant, huh? I mean, quintessential American thinking there. All right, now here is when the news came out that Martin Luther King had been shot. This will be in just a second, of course, but anyway, it was a pretty sad day, and I've got a clip here from Robert Kennedy.
Did they know about Martin Luther King?
We have left it up to you.
Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country in greater polarization, black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand compassion and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own day despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black.
A stunning speech there, huh? So the legacy of Martin Luther King is still with us, and we are right to celebrate his day. And anyway, let's take a little break here. Kelly O'Connell, this is a little bit more Ryan Adams for you. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. Do you have a guest? He's going to be on at 7. And you're going to find out about another politician, an abominable creature. We'll be right back.
I was playing fair.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. It's 6:47. And all right, so we are quite well advised to think about Martin Luther King. Think about the speech that you heard from RFK. Could you imagine a pygmy like the current occupant of the White House giving a speech like that? It would be impossible to imagine. Now, let me read you a few of the headlines today. A newspaper is reporting Obamacare penalty may be larger than expected. And another one saying Democrats are having second thoughts. Obama is pictured with one eye closed as if he's winking. And underneath it says Robin Hood. MLK the third condemns violence against police. Oprah, who has her own history of, in my opinion, racism. I think Oprah is a racist, and I've always felt that way. Leading a Selma march. And the reason that I believe that she is she went to the racist church that Obama attended, and until it got to the point where it would hurt her career. But she's backed Obama. She's very racially oriented, even though she kind of sucks up to white middle-aged women. They are questioning the accuracy of the film Selma. And as to why the film was not nominated for an Academy Award, they said, well, it's not about race. It's about how good the film is. Israel kills Iran's Revolutionary Guard general in Golan Heights strike. Boy, that's interesting. The NSA preps for future wars in which the internet plays a crucial role. Net used to paralyze computer networks, infrastructure, flow of money. UPS driver arrested for stealing 200,000 in gold and silver bars. And a man dies after a three-day binge of internet gaming. And 5,000 people are marched in Pakistan against Charlie Hebdo, the magazine in which the guy was killed. Harry Reid is probably the most imperiled senator of the next cycle, and they say he may not even run for the office again. But he was certainly an evil person in his own way. I saw, by the way, an American Sniper, the American Sniper, and I'm going to come back when you come back after the break. I'm going to tell you about it. I was blown away. And they say that the American Sniper by the end of today is going to have made $105 million, a stunning amount. Here's a little break. Kelly O'Connell will be right back. It's Kelly here, and as I was telling you, I saw American Sniper over the weekend, and it was... It was an amazing film. It really was. I don't know. You know, there's a difference between a true story and art. So, you know, you do a movie like this. There's art in it. And if it's a true story, then there's supposed to be facts in it. And I understand that. But I was just, I was really blown away by the film. It may be Clint Eastwood's finest moment. Here's a clip from NBC News, but I would advise anybody who had the opportunity to go see that movie.
Films is heavy on true stories, including that of Chris Kyle. The late Navy SEAL sniper is credited with saving countless American lives in the Iraq War. He served four tours only to meet a horrible fate here at home. I met Kyle 3 years ago as he adapted to what may have been his most challenging mission in some ways, learning to serve his fellow troops as a civilian. With 160 confirmed kills, Chris Kyle was the U.S. military's most lethal sniper, a number the humble Navy SEAL was quick to deflect when we met in 2012.
If I could figure out a number of people I saved, that's something I would brag about.
Did you ever have any lingering feelings about taking a life?
No. Every person I killed, I have a clear conscience of, because they were actively trying to harm Americans, allies, or the civilians.
Kyle's story was made for Hollywood.
The thing that haunts me are all the guys that I couldn't save.
Bradley Cooper's portrayal of the Texan earned him an Oscar nomination, a role the actor took to heart.
I sort of just fell in love with the guy. I just have tremendous respect for what he did. I think that that's the main thing about this movie. People that may not know what really goes on with vets and with soldiers, what they have to deal with balancing home life and being abroad.
Kyle's friend and ex-Navy SEAL Clint Bruce praises the film for shining a spotlight on the toll war can take at home.
You know, coming home is a hard deal because, you know, you physically get here and you desperately and urgently try to find ways to bring your purpose back here.
Chris Kyle left the Navy in 2009 and returned to Texas and found a new purpose in life.
I just want to be an advocate for the vets to make sure they're taken care of.
And that's become your big cause right now, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Did you have your own form of post-traumatic stress?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, after you come back from a wartime deployment, you're going to have combat stress.
Kyle made it his mission to help veterans suffering from PTSD, a decision that would ultimately end up costing him his life. The Navy SEAL was shot to death at a shooting range nearly 2 years ago, allegedly by a veteran who he was trying to help. Since his death, his friends and family are paying it forward, some helping other veterans in need, like Clint Bruce does.
All right, so there is the story that is told in that movie, but I would tell you that it is as good as a movie as you'll probably see in terms of, there was something about the movie. It's not a pro-war movie. If anything, it might be a little bit anti-war in terms of why are we in the Middle East? What are we trying to achieve? It doesn't slam George Bush. It's not a leftist movie like that. But it makes you think about the American mission. But at the same time, within the context of this guy's life, there's no doubt that in his mind he's fighting for, you know, the what he considers to be the right way to live, and he's fighting for the truth. He's snipering to support America, who he believes in. I think one reason the movie's doing so well is we've had so many attacks against America from the highest levels. Anyway, here's from Fox News, a little bit from his widow.
Hey guys, you're watching War Stories on the Fox Business Network. Well, in the new war film, American Sniper, we witness the real-life story of one soldier's struggle on and off the battlefield. I was honored to have sat down with Chris Kyle's widow, Taya, and asked why she wanted her husband's story shared.
I was incredibly proud of him, and I was in awe of the way that he did that. And I know he had to fight tooth and nail to get back to who he was, but he did it, just like everything else in his life. He made up his mind, and he did it.
You're home?
I'm coming home.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
And I can tell you that I feel honored to have this movie about him. I know that that's something not very many people get when their loved ones are gone, is an opportunity to share them.
Such a powerful film, folks, so be sure to check out American Sniper in theaters now. And stay tuned for even more war stories right here.
All right. So I would say if you want to celebrate the American mission in the world and also think a little bit about, I mean, this film, a lot of it is just, a lot of the film is this guy and his buddies out in the field fighting. And there's a scene where he takes out a sniper from an incredibly far shot right before a sandstorm, and by shooting they alert the enemy of where they're at, and the enemy comes pouring in. It's an exciting movie, and you know some people are saying it's a glorification of murder and death and everything. You know, what he was doing wasn't murder, but Michael Moore, the pinheaded so-called documentary maker, said he's opposed to the movie because snipers shoot people in the back and therefore are cowards. Michael Moore is about as crazy as the local politician who went off the reservation and attacked a Native girl. Chased her down the street, I'm going to tell you about this, and made her fear for her life. And somebody who was there said if they had a gun, they would have considered intervening, stepping in between this maniac, chasing this Native girl, and just making the guy stop. I'm going to tell you who it is. I'm calling for him to resign. He may be sued for this. He is a complete moron. Kelly O'Connell, take you out with some Ryan Adams, 6:59 on the button, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be back.
Got nothing to say. Like there's no tomorrow. Barely yesterday. Oh, my life's been shaking. Wanting something. Holding everything I have. It was broken.
Good morning, it's Kelly. It is Kelly here, and I've been telling you a story. Let me reread what I had read at the beginning of the show. And by the way, it's Martin Luther King Day. 7:06 on the 19th of January 2015. What if I told you a young lady went to someone's house on Friday as part of her legal job, her way of making a little bit of extra money as a student, and after telling the person who answered the door, going door to door, why she was there, that person became angry, in fact, so angry that he screamed like a tribesman, a bloodthirsty tribesman during a cannibal assault, like an escaped maniac from an asylum off his meds. And that he began running after the frightened teen, that he chased her down the street screaming profanities and threats like someone in the midst of a full-blown psychiatric meltdown, that the poor teen girl, the Native teen girl who was just trying to make some money to live on and was just doing her job without partisanship, became so frightened that she panicked, hyperventilated, and thought she'd be killed, and that she was not sure she'd live through the night, of course. Further, that a witness admitted if they'd had a gun, they would have intervened to stop the assault, and that afterwards, the terrified teen had somehow escaped, and that man had gone home, he went to Facebook to apologize and admit basically what he had done, putting his own spin on it. And what if I told you this person was a prominent area state politician who may be out of his mind, such is his unstable behavior? Well, I've got Jeff Isabel on the show today. He's been on a few times before. He's the head of the recall movement. I thought I was going to do a show on one of the recall recipients, Gil Sorg, who it was reported to me refused to help one of his constituents, and I wanted the person to tell the story. But that person has a medical condition that did not allow him to be able to come on the show. But as it were, fate intervened in a very bizarre, very, very bizarre coincidence. And I got a phone call Friday night, and I realized what I needed to do was have Jeff Isbell on the show to tell the story. Jeff, good morning to you. Thanks for coming on the Kelly O'Connell Show very early.
Well, thank you, Kelly. It's good to be here. It's good to be on your show once again. The radical progressives think that I'm out of state, so
yeah.
Please don't let them know that I'm sitting across from you.
I will not let them know that. Your secrets are safe with me, of course. Now, I've been teasing the audience with this person's identity. Who was the maniac? Who was the nutcase? Who was the Fruit Loop? Who was the mad Marxist? The Swami of Salami? The gay evangelist? The perversion? The homosexual prophet? Who did this evil attack against this teen girl?
Well, unfortunately, it was a state representative here named Representative Bill McCamley. And we are just disappointed with his behavior that night. It's unbefitting of anybody in public. Well, it's unbefitting of anyone, period. But especially for a person who holds public office.
Well, I mean, I've been introduced to his craziness before on a personal level. I was disappointed with my own observation, and he victimized me in something that I told the audience about before. But what exactly led up to this? When you called me and told me the story, I honestly couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk too much because I do believe the victim may be pursuing some legal action, possibly. So
it was that bad.
It was that bad. So each night we have dozen plus people on the streets knocking doors. Every door counts. Every voter counts. Knocking doors, asking for people to sign a recall petition, calling for a special election for their city councilor. One of the young ladies was in Councilor Olga Pedroza's district. She knocked on a door. A nice lady came to the door. She asked questions. This worker of ours responded to those questions, and the lady signed the petition. When our staff member said, "Is there anybody else in the house that may be willing to sign?" The lady said, "Actually, this guy driving up here may be willing to sign." And so the girl went over to the car, had a conversation with the man who she did not know. The man began yelling at her and then began yelling at the woman whose door he had just arrived to for signing the petition. So our staff member, of course, we always encourage our staff members to, you know, take necessary safety precautions. So she left. She began to walk away. And while State Representative Bill McCamley was still yelling at the lady who had just signed the petition, whose house he had just arrived at, he later came out and said on Facebook after he was called out for his behavior, he said that was his house, which is ironic because that's the house he's registered to vote at. I don't know if we talked about this, Kelly, but that's the house that he's registered to vote at. He came out on Facebook and said, "This is my house," but in the confrontation with one of our staff members, he says, "You arrived at my renter's house." Which is interesting. Where does State Representative Bill McCamley live?
Doesn't he live in Mesilla? Doesn't he represent the Mesilla district?
It's a fairly large area. But so this girl walked away. The next thing she knew, this gentleman was chasing after her down the street in the heart of Olga's district, yelling at her. She immediately got on the phone to her supervisor, which was about a block away. We're always close out there in the field with our people. And this man got in her face. She paused, essentially drilling this 19-year-old female. And she just froze. She didn't say anything. And then, of course, he came out in his statement, which was supposed to be an apology, not really an apology, didn't really apologize to the girl, and said that she refused to answer his questions. Well, if you hear her talk about it, he was in her face, and she froze. She panicked, and she didn't want to say something out of fear that wasn't accurate. So,
not only that, but you've got a guy who's really gone ballistic in your face. Are you going to stand there and have a conversation?
And she knew, she thought he was recording the conversation. So she was extremely fearful. The supervisor said, "Just keep walking. I'm walking to you."
The supervisor saw the whole thing. There was a third party.
That's right. So the supervisor then, the girl got to the supervisor, like I said, about a block away, and Bill McCamley quickly approached. Granted, this girl still did not know who this person was.
Yeah.
The
bald-headed and deranged representative approached her.
And the supervisor said that had she known, well, had she had been carrying that night, she would have drawn the gun because that's how intimidating the whole situation was. So you have a 19-year-old female teenager
native,
who was scared.
I find it so interesting that on Martin Luther King Day, we're talking about this cracker, this white guy that claims to stand for everything, all justice in the world, and is certainly one of the most bombastic and supercilious and egotistical and arrogant people I've ever met, and claims to stand on the right side of everything, attacks a native girl simply because he disagrees with her politics, as he always does.
Well, that's right, and that's what the left, the radical progressives here in Las Cruces have resorted to. If you don't side with them, if you don't believe what they believe in, if you stand up for what you believe is right,
you're
a contrary
monster.
To them,
you're a monster.
And they villainize you. They protest your businesses. They come at you on Facebook and in other social media things. They call your business, threaten you, and say, we're going to shut you down. Councilman Miguel Silva, he's had his house vandalized. He's had his car vandalized, all because he stood against Progressive Voter Alliance and CAFE.
And CAFE. And Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, has found out on his own you do not cross swords with CAFE. But do you think it's possible that Bill McCamley has a mental abnormality?
Well, anybody that will come at a 19-year-old female in the manner in which he did, and of course, if you hear him talk about it, he simply raised his voice out of frustration. But you hear her talk about it. She said this on Facebook. She said, in this job, I anticipate getting chased by a dog, but I never imagined it would be the state representative. I was pretty scared.
She was terrified.
And unfortunately, she was supposed to come to work on Saturday. The incident happened Friday night. She was supposed to come to work on Saturdays and Sundays. She didn't. Still terrified, but hopefully we'll get her back out doing what she believes in real soon.
I've said it on this show before. There's only one person in this town I detest. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care if you're on the other side of a case from me. I have a lot of respect for the people that disagree with me because, you know, in my opinion, that's you enter into the political or the arena of ideas. It's a precursor. It's a prerequisite. You respect those that you disagree with. You can't expect people to take you seriously if you just trash them. But the one person I detest in this town is Bill McCamley because he's such a backstabber, because he goes so far over the line, because he mixes his job with his own personal passions, his own personal dislikes, his hatreds of people, and he would attack anybody who disagreed with him in the most deranged way. That is the person that I cannot stand. I've said it on the show before, and now he's done this. I'm calling on you, Bill McCamley, resign and go get the help you obviously so desperately need. Kelly O'Connell here. I'm with Jeff Isbell. We're talking about state representative who's disgraced his office. We're calling on him to resign. I got a little Ryan Adams here, the king of alt country, a huge superstar. This is live from the BBC, Let It Ride, one of his great songs. We'll be right back. 718-523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text on KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Moving like the fog on the Cumberland. river, I was leaning on the Delta Queen. I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. 27 years of nothing but failures and promises. I couldn't keep hold of. Now I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. Let it ride. Let it ride. Easy down the road. Let it ride. Let it take away all of the darkness. Let it ride. Let it rub me in the arms of strangers, angels up to brings me home. Let it ride, let it roll, let it go.
Only Pizza Hut's new menu finally gives crust the flavor.
It's Kelly here, and good morning to you. I've got a local story that if you've been listening in, it's shocking, but a local politician attacked. When I say attacked, I don't mean physically beat up, but assaulted. I mean, made her afraid for her life. She's a native girl. She doesn't even live in this state. She was just doing petitioning to just make a little money for college. And a true maniac. And a completely blind zealot, a person with hatred in his heart for anybody who dares to disagree with him, such as his megalomania, is just unbridled fury against those who dare to disagree with him. That's the kind of person that we elected out of Mesilla, out of the Mesilla area, for the state representation in the House. And you see this guy, he goes after the things that are sexy or the things that are cutting edge in his mind, gay marriage, the marijuana initiative, supporting the legalization of marijuana, things that you may or may not agree with, but I will guarantee you, if you spent enough time with this blind zealot, you would really have a second thought about supporting him again. He needs to resign. He went ballistic. He went ape feces at a girl who is really not even a partisan. She's just there trying to make a little bit of money, going door to door, and scared out of her wits by the fury of this this mental case, Bill McCamley. When I heard it, I just about fell over. Now, I've got Jeff Isbell, who is running this recall effort. What was your initial reaction when you heard this story, Jeff?
Well, I think initially it was shock.
It's surreal, wasn't it?
It's a state representative. And from people I've talked to, I think that's the initial reaction. But when they hear the story, I think ultimately it doesn't surprise them. I know when they filed the police report later that night about the incident, it certainly didn't surprise the officer who took their story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, when a politician comes out immediately after being questioned or immediately after his threatening behavior has become public and he comes out and issues an immediate statement. Now, this is politicians we're dealing with. You know there's more to the story. So when Bill McCamley said he simply raised his voice out of frustration, well, no politician would come out with a statement saying, I'm sorry I raised my voice out of frustration. He knew what he did. He instantly knew what he did. We called him out instantly for his behavior. And now look at it. I mean, it's just a mess. I think you're right. I think State Representative Bill McCamley should resign.
Why? Why are you calling on him to resign?
Well, the fact that any man would do this to a young female, probably 6 foot man, 5 foot female, young girl who lives here now.
A minority,
a student.
Native American minority.
But Kelly, I think I would also call upon the other members of our local delegation to the state house. I'd call upon the governor to condemn the actions of State Representative Bill McCamley. He's now, after this incident, after targeting this young lady and chasing her down a street, now he's going to go to Santa Fe and try to represent his constituents. But he has yet to apologize to this young girl. And that's horrific.
He'll only do it, from my experience, he'll only do it if he's got skin in the game, if there's something riding on it. My experience with him is I had met him at this local coffee shop. And it asked him if he wanted to come on the air. And he said that he considered to, talk radio to be evil, basically. And that it was, and he said it's not just talk radio, it's also MSNBC, like to show that he was had an open mind. And I'm listening to this guy thinking talk radio is the one place that you can go give your opinion and people won't shut you down. They won't make you try to pay for it, where you can express anything that you want, that you believe in. And I said, I remember putting my hand up in the air and saying, do you believe that you're up in the, where Plato's, forms are, where up everything is perfect. And he goes, yes. And I'm like, this guy's nuts. And then I had about a couple of minutes later, I said, you really think you're up in pure, where it's things are purified, where there's, just truth. And he said, no. And I realized the guy was not all there. Got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Patty, yeah. Hey, good morning to you. Happy MLK Day. What's on your mind?
Bill McCamley is a rude, and he does need to be called out.
Do you think he should resign?
He's a zombie. Yeah, he's a zombie, too.
Is he do you think he's mentally ill?
Yes, I do. And he promotes that zombie thing. I don't like it. I think all of these people that are on that side, that evil, ugly side, are going crazy because they know they're losing.
That's a great point. He is zombie-esque. He is like a maniac. He's like a flesh eater. Jeff?
Uh-huh, he is. And well, I'd like Mr. Isbell to come to District 1 with his petition drive. I need to sign it.
He's right here.
So Patty,
okay.
Thank you for your call.
Pass that on.
District 1 is, unfortunately, not one of the districts that we're recalling.
Hold on, Patty. Yeah. Patty, let him talk.
District 1 is actually not one of the districts we're targeting. We're targeting districts 3, 4, and 5, so you would not be able to sign that petition. However, we do appreciate your support. And anybody that you know that lives in District 3, 4, and 5, we need your help. Send them to our website, lcrecall.com, or have them call us at 575-201-3084.
Patty, what's the number again?
575-201-3084. We need as many signatures as we can get.
Patty, do you think Bill McCamley should resign?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Immediately. He is not for any of us. He is for himself, and he is definitely the hardcore left, and we just don't need it anymore. We just don't.
That's
we're not interested in any of the agendas they have.
That's
none
so
of them.
True.
Okay.
Well, Patty,
have a great
thanks
day.
For the call. Have a good day. All right. I'll remind people the reason that I had a beef with this guy. I had him on the show. He got on the show, and he was all right the first time. But although he saw the I know I've told this story before, but for those of you who didn't hear it, I've got a poster that I ordered when I started the show. Welcome to the party. It's got a bunch of signatures on it. It's a joke. It's got Lenin holding up a mixed drink. It's got Stalin holding a martini. Of course, Castro's holding a beer. Now, on the table, Chairman Mao spinning records, and on the floor, breakdancing is Karl Marx. It's just a joke. Bill McCamley saw this, and he said he was leaving. He was infuriated. And it was when Phil was on the show with me, and he said, Why are you upset? And he goes, this is insulting. Why would you have a poster like this? And Phil said, it's a joke. And he says, I don't find it funny. So he basically talked him into not leaving. But Bill McCamley was so self-righteous. He's, you know, it's like, hey, folks, it's politics. You could be right or wrong, but having a political opinion in and of itself doesn't make you a god. It doesn't make you a priest, you know. Here we got another call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you today?
Good, Jim. Thanks for calling in. Hope you're having a good MLK day, and what's on your mind?
Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Please do so. But what he did was commit what they call assault. Now, battery is the actual final act when you attack.
Yes.
But isn't assault something that's an arrestable offense?
Yes.
Well, you know, recall would be great. I'd like to see the guy go. I've already signed it. I'm in District 5, but the guy needs to be arrested for assault.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I think much like the Sun News not covering this story, they would just like it to go away, so they're not going to do much at all to call Representative Bill McCamley out for his actions. But thank God for people like Kelly who are willing to talk about issues like this when you're not going to hear it anywhere else.
Jim, do you think he should resign?
Yes, I do. But, you know, the people of his mentality, Kelly, do not see himself in error. See everybody else is wrong and them is right. So to him, he's God.
It's a pathology. Have you ever talked to him? Have you ever overheard a conversation with him? Do you consider him to be mentally ill?
Just bits and pieces. No official, thing like you've done or anybody else. But you know, when a girl is so afraid, just like you say, trying to earn a little bit of money, for him to do what he did, that's a coward too.
That's a coward, and you pick on a little girl, a little teenager, a little teen native girl, and obviously he thinks he can get away with it. But I mean, what kind of a mentality attacks people simply, Jim, because they disagree with him?
Far left.
A tyrant, yeah.
The far left, you know, when you look at the events going on today, Kelly, there are good and bad on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But when is the last time I don't think I ever remember, you know, people and what they call a quote-unquote extreme right doing what they do to me.
Somebody.
And I would call them every time the extreme left.
Jim, hold on one second. You've called the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll be right back. Hold on. Yeah, Jim, anything else?
Kelly, no, and I thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Happy MLK Day. And who's this?
This is John.
Yeah, what's going on?
Kelly, why weren't the police involved?
Jeff?
Well, the police were involved, actually. They came and filed a police report, and what they do after that is certainly up to them and the attorney's office here locally.
Why do you want the police involved, though?
Well, I just feel that it's a one-sided story we're getting here, and I just not defending one side or the other, but if she was in that fear and the supervisor felt that she could pull a gun, I feel that she could have dialed 911.
Jeff?
Well, I think our first reaction is to minimize the situation. You know, we're used to getting yelled at every night when we're out there. But as soon as the supervisor came and recognized State Representative Bill McCamley, suddenly he became more calm and not as confrontational. But it was the girl whom he took advantage of her youth and yelled at as she was walking down the street.
I agree, though. He deserves to have an independent fact finding on this. I agree with that 100%, of course.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what the police report shows and what they find.
Anything else?
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Folks, we'll take a little break here. Here's a little bit more Ryan Adams, Let It Ride. I played the beginning of the live version. Here is the studio version. It's got a little more pep. 736 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. And we're talking about Bill McCamley going ape feces again. And here's one of the superstars of the alt-country movement, Ryan Adams.
Cumberland River, I was leaving on the Delta Queen. I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. 27 years of nothing but failures and promises that I couldn't keep alone. I wasn't ready to go. I'm never ready to go. Let it ride easy down the road. Let it ride. Will it take away all of the darkness? Let it ride. Will it rock me in the arms of strangers, angels, and souls that brings me home? Let it ride. Let it go. Let it go.
Kelly here. Good morning to you. I was just telling the story of my interactions with Bill McCamley when I realized that he really wasn't just on the other side ideologically from me, that he really had problems. He almost stormed out of my studio because he saw a spoof poster of the most famous Marxist leaders. Now, what kind of a person would react that way except a Marxist? I ask you. You can answer the question yourself. But and then there was another time that he came and he didn't want to come in, but the other studio said go, and you know, it was about gay marriage. And I asked him, I said, you know, I always try to be polite to people who come on my show. They're guests, you know. And I said, what's the best argument that you can give for gay marriage? And he snarls at me, there is no argument against it. And I'm thinking, this guy is a total fanatic. There's only one side. Every important issue has one side to it. Reminds me of what comes out of the White House, you know. They're the only principle resides in the far left, right? Well, then I'm at this event in which we're making an announcement that we're trying to get an art gallery, a museum set up for a friend of mine who is visually impaired, elderly, Hispanic artist. And he's well-known nationally and internationally. He's got a exhibit going around the world right now with the Smithsonian, and we're there talking and trying to figure out how we can get the money for this and everything. Anyway, who shows up at the last minute but Bill McCamley, looking like a kid that just got off the bus. He's just dressed in civilian clothes with his little backpack on, looking like Charlie Brown. And then somebody comes up to me later and says, you know, this guy, he's talking about you. And then a couple of people came up and said, he's, you know, this guy's trashing you. I said, for what? And they said, well, he came up and asked me, what was I doing there? Me, Kelly. And I'm thinking, kind of an idiot goes to somebody else's meeting and then goes around and tries to say, point one person out in the meeting, what's this person doing there? You know? So he went around and telling people what a horrible person I was. And I'm like, you know what? You're here because you're working in, you're in the state legislature, and you're going around and wasting your time trashing me because you have a personal beef with me. And at this point, I had never said a single criticism of the guy on the air or anywhere else, thinking this guy's really got a problem. And I wasn't going to say anything about it, but then I thought the people of the Mesilla Valley deserves to know what kind of a moron this guy is. So just what he's really like. He mixes his personal and the political all the time. He advocates for his own views. He doesn't represent anybody. And he takes personal pot shots at people. He is the last person who should be in elected office. And I honestly could not believe that he had gone to this meeting and just picked me out. And I mean, how can I put this? You know, that would be like going to somebody's birthday party and picking somebody out in the birthday party and coming up to the person who had organized the birthday party. What is Joe Johnson doing here? What are they doing here? He didn't know anything about this. He didn't. I mean, I was part of this. I was the legal representative of this group. But he wants to know what I'm doing there. And this guy's just, he's like, you know, a third wheel. He just, somebody called him at the last minute. So anyway, at that point, I knew he was a bad guy and he shouldn't be in office. That's the reason I went after him, because not because he attacked me. I don't care if you disagree with me, but because he misused his public office, he misuses it to go after people. He is got a mental problem, and I think that he needs to be on medication. I wouldn't be surprised if he was bipolar. Anyway, we got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who is this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. Happy MLK Day, and how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm listening to this, and I'm astounded. How in the world did this guy get elected?
Great question. I mean, you tell me. This is your community.
Well, these guys on the left, they preach diversity and tolerance, and it's obvious that this guy doesn't practice it. Tolerance for them means it's just to put up with their evil.
Yeah. Well, so, you hear about this young native teen getting attacked by him, chased down the street, screaming obscenities and with fury. And then, I mean, what do you think should be the outcome?
I think this should be pursued by the full extent of the law.
I agree. What would that look like?
Well, if he's going to be charged with assault, and he also needs to be recalled, and I hope that he packs his bags and goes someplace where he's accepted at the far, far left, possibly maybe China, Pakistan, Afghanistan.
Are you shocked by this?
Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm shocked and I'm disappointed. You know, despite the fact that we all have come from different backgrounds and whatnot, as our buddy Steve Pierce says, maybe we could sit around and talk about moral clarity and work together, meet halfway. Great show, Kelly. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Greg. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye. Jeff?
Well, no, I think it is shocking that a state representative would lower himself and his position to such a level as this. The reality is, for far too long, these guys have felt as if they're above any sort of criticism. They've been left unchecked, except for on this program here, which they don't listen to. And when you show up to events, they badmouth you for just even being there. But they feel as if they're above anything and anyone. That stops now. Now we're here as a unified voice, as citizens. Thousands of people so far have signed these recall petitions against these three individuals. And we're here to say, simply, enough is enough. We want our community back.
Well, I mean, I just got a text from somebody. Okay. I just got a text from somebody to review what happened there was a person who was going around, not because she was a partisan, but because she was trying to make some money for school, a native girl from out of state. And she went to the wrong house, and Bill McCamley pulled up there. I guess he owned the house. He didn't live there, but he owned it, and he came out. And
he's found, registered there.
Yeah. Well, it's, which is another problem, in my opinion, but didn't live there, but he's registered there. And he comes out and finds out what's going on, and he just goes ape feces against this girl. And you talked to the girl. What did she say?
Well, she was just very shaken up. She didn't want to go back out and talk to anybody else that night. She ended up not working this weekend as well as she was scheduled to do. You know, just really scared. And that was before she learned that this was a state representative. And then her mind went from being scared to, I mean,
outraged.
Maybe more so betrayed. You know.
This is
an elected official.
The funny thing is, this girl might come from a Democrat background. For all we know, Bill McCamley might have attacked a girl that actually agrees with him politically. I'm not saying she does. She could be a super conservative, but he might have attacked this girl, and she's just out doing something legal, trying to make a living.
Well, that's the thing about our coalition. It's independents, it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's people that just are tired, and she's out there because she sees that she currently goes to NMSU, and she sees friends of hers that get their degree and move away because there's nothing here. And that's one of the talking points we use when we go to the door. These young people feel as if we need better representation who will fight for them, and not people like Bill McCamley who will threaten them.
We got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Bill, happy MLK Day, and what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say something about that man, Bill McCamley. I don't know him personally, but I followed him when I had Comcast, and he used to be a county commissioner,
yeah.
And he would take over the show all the time. He would be the leader there. He would intimidate the other commissioners. They wouldn't admit it, but you could tell that he was a man right there. He'll talk you down, you know.
Yeah.
And a while ago, somebody called and said, how was he elected? He's very convincing. He can convince anybody to do something, to vote for him.
Yeah.
But even if we get rid of him, you'll find a way to come back. He's so smart that he'll find a way to come back and even stronger.
Is he like athlete's foot? You can't get rid of him?
Exactly. He's another, what was that man that ran Germany? What was it? Hitler.
Yeah, he's an Adolf Hitler, huh?
And for one time, I thought that he was an antichrist because he's that bad. I mean, I don't know how people can take him. I've heard some on the paper, some good comments about him. Some ladies, I guess, call out. You know, he's the nicest man there is. But people that know him, that should talk in public and let people know what type of person he really is.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Do you think he should resign?
Oh, definitely. But like I say, even if he did resign, I bet you that he'll even come out stronger because of the type of person that he is.
Yeah, maybe this is his time in a Spandau prison like Hitler, like you're saying. Okay. Well, Bill, I got to
go.
Yes,
sir.
Anything else?
Okay. Well, just that maybe it's a good thing that this came up.
Yeah.
It'll put him up in the public, and they'll realize what type of person he is. Thank you for taking my call.
If they call, you betcha. Folks, here's a little more Ryan Adams, Kelly O'Connell. We're talking about a monstrous act by an elected official who simply should not be in office. He should be receiving a medical diagnosis for what his mental problem is. Is he bipolar? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different things that could explain this type of erratic behavior. But, and one, the caller who just called said he's like a Hitler to him. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell and 751 KOBE 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180-2 text. We'll be right back. It's Kelly. Who is it?
Kelly, it's Bill.
Hey, what's up?
I'm in Precinct 5. Could you go over the precincts again and a contact address and phone number?
Sure, sure.
I will find them. They don't have to find me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Of course not, man. You know better. You're on the left. You know. Folks, this is Kelly, and I just got a comment from somebody. They know Bill McCamley. He's not capable of this type of evil. What do you? I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of the partisanship. I don't believe somebody would do something wrong. I know them.
Well, I think the reality is anybody and everyone is capable of doing something that they're not proud of. However, we don't expect it from our elected officials, and that's exactly what happened here to a teenage girl.
We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty again.
Yeah.
I know Bill McCamley, and I think he's rude, despicable, and
he's a horrible person. My experience is he's a horrible person.
Yeah, he's what a
megalomaniac, meaning you're never wrong. Patty, hold on 1 second. You called the Kelly O'Connell Show and put you on hold? Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
I've got to go, sweetie.
Okay,
I just want to say he's a megalomania.
Yeah, megalomaniac. He sure is. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Jake. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind? Happy MLK Day.
Yes, sir. I think we have to go after this guy by like a bunch of hound dogs. This guy, it proved who he was, and a lot of these people put up a front. They're two-faced, and they act like a certain way to the public to get what they want. They're good talkers. I don't think he's smart at all. I think he thinks he's smart, but he's so dumb that finally it came out who he is. So I think this gentleman here, I don't even want to call him a gentleman, this man has to be, I want the full extent of the law, because if I did that to a female, they'd be at my house arresting me. But this guy can get away with it like that because he's a state representative. What kind of law do we have if that can happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had the experience with the guy. I know the stuff that he's done to me has the imprint of instability. I mean, you don't, even though it's relatively small stuff, I wanted to let people know I was nothing but polite to this guy. And when he had a chance, he launched this savage personal attack against me inappropriately in a place where it had nothing to do with what we were talking about. And he's like the most partisan person I've ever met. He's not good enough to be in an office representing people. Jake, I'm out of time. Anything else?
No, I think those weren't small things that he was doing to you. I think that was just the evidence, and he was, you were right on of what this guy is, and now it finally came out.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great day. Yeah, Jeff, I'll let you finish up.
Well, no, this was certainly an unfortunate accident. We're disappointed and shocked at the threatening behavior. State Representative Bill McCamley, no young person, especially a female teenager, should have to endure what this young girl endured at the hands of an elected official. We call upon Bill McCamley to resign, but also we call upon the other members of our local delegation, the Santa Fe, to call upon, to join us in this call for State Representative Bill McCamley to resign. I know somebody had just called about more information on the recall. Kelly, there's so much to talk about.
Give us the number to call.
575-201-3084. 575-201-3084. Districts 3, 4, and 5. Olga Pedroza, Nathan Small, Gil Sorg. We need all the help we can get in these final weeks.
Nathan Small, Gil Sorg, and Olga are doing a drive to pull him out of office. Bill McCamley, I realize you're in Santa Fe, but please resign. You're a disgrace. We have a system where people are supposed to get along, and we disagree at the ballot box. We make private religious decisions. Classic leftism. Bill drags these debates out into the streets and attacks innocent people simply because because they disagree with him. His idea of evil is somebody who dares to disagree with him. He needs mental help. I think he's bipolar. Anyway, take you out with some Ryan Adams. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell's show. Thanks for coming in, Jeff.
Thanks, Kelly.
Ciao. Tonight, dancing in the moonlight, all right.